Before we start today's episode, just to let you know, you can now nominate for the 2025 Northern Power Women Awards to be in with a chance of celebrating with changemakers, trailblazers and advocates on the 3rd of March 2025. Nominate now at wearepower.net.
Women Podcast. For your career and your life, no matter what business you're in.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Northern Power Women Podcast and the third episode in our Levelling Up season. I'm your host, Simone Roche, and I've been chatting to some of our amazing community of Northern Power Women from across all our regions, our sectors, all genders, and we're bringing to you the stories, the tips, the tricks, the wisdom, the takeaways, and more from those who are truly levelling up from up here in the North. Last year, we published our Levelling Up report by powering on, and we had three asks. Give us seats at the table, invest in female and Black, Asian minority, ethnic-led businesses, and invest in our future talent. And now, over a year on, we've made some fantastic progress and are gearing up to report back. But first, we want to hear from you. How have you been levelling up? Click the link in the show notes to fill in the survey and be part of our progress report later this year. But now, I want to talk to a fantastic human being who epitomises cracking on. Debbie Francis OBE has a distinguished business career, including a period of as Northern Cities Executive for Arcadis UK and Managing Director of Direct Rail Services. We wouldn't be talking levelling up if we weren't talking about rail at some point, I'm sure. And now Debbie is chair of the Lancashire LEP, the Local Enterprise Partnership, and also holds a number of other non-executive roles. She is revisiting her original plans, like that many of us were scuppered by the pandemic, and relaunching her company, Ripple Effect Development Limited, which is focused on training and development of women in business in those areas that she is all too aware that can impact confidence and subsequently performance for women in roles at all levels. She also offers consultancy services to companies looking to improve their overall approach to equality, diversity and inclusion. She's a Northern Power Women power lister, might I add, no surprise there, after all you have done and you are doing, and was awarded an OBE earlier this year. Well done, Debbie. How are you? In fact, actually, was it the end of the year? Was it the New Year's honours, Debbie?
It was the New Year's honours, yeah, it was indeed. How am I? I'm embarrassed, I think, after all of that. And isn't that a really one of the typical responses from the women that you speak to? Because I listen to it and I think, oh, and I'm not sure I recognise myself in it when you're saying it. And then there's another bit of me wanting to feel really proud and thinking that that's wrong. It's sort of some of those typical responses that we have for right or wrong. And I understand them all too well, but it doesn't stop me feeling them the same as everybody else does.
I know, we were talking about the OBE just before this, and you're off to the Palace Windsor, actually, sorry, the Castle, early next year to pick up your amazing OBE. And one of the things we were talking about is at the awards next year, which will be the 6th Northern Power Women Awards, we are encouraging everyone to wear their achievement, whether it's your 25-meter swimming badge, you know, whether it's your, you know, local achievement, or win it, you know, wear it with pride, because it is, it's easy, isn't it, to just keep these things on a shelf in a cupboard, but get the light out from beyond that bush, shall I say.
Thanks. And I agree, and that is great advice for women. I mean, you know, my husband had to absolutely hammer on at me to put the OBE onto my LinkedIn profile and things, because it just felt, you know, that it feels like it's almost wrong to shout about it, but it shouldn't be. And that's partly because, you know, it's really important. I know some of what we're going to talk about today is, you know, what we need to be doing to make sure we can get a seat at the table and things. And some of that is making sure that the role models are there for other people to see. Well, if we're not shouting about what we've done, we can't be seen as those role models. So, you know, whether we feel slightly embarrassed by it or not, we need to get out there and do that, because that is putting out, you know, the role models that the next generations need to see. And if you're not shouting about it, it's not visible.
Absolutely. And as individuals, what are those skills and qualities we should all aim to possess to get that seat at the table? Because that was one of the big asks that we had in our report last year. So whether you're enabling a seat to be taken, whether you're recommending someone, or whether you're pulling it out, extending the table and bringing a bench with you to bring more people on it, what are those key skills that we want to bring?
To be honest, I would love to say that we only need to bring the same skills as everybody else. There's no reason why we should be looking differently at the skills we have to bring. You should just be able to bring your knowledge, your experience, and ability to articulate issues, and listen to other people. And you shouldn't have to have anything else. But we're well aware, I think, that it's still not quite as equal as we would like it to be. And some of those skills and qualities that are often looked for are not always quite so easy for us. Great example is confidence. And it comes across in all sorts of ways. And it's great in the recruitment process. There's lots of times when you may be in that situation when you're very close to, say, a male counterpart. And the recruitment panel will give the job to the man on the basis that he came across more confidently. So that's a really difficult one, it's not a subconscious bias almost. It's something that we think you've got to have to, have a seat at the table or be a leader, that this idea about having confidence, and we're not clear enough about recognising what is confidence and what's real confidence. So, for men, and okay, we are talking about generalised genders here, and that's not always the right way to go. But for now, I think we have to stick with that in this type of conversation. So testosterone creates confidence. Okay, so and men have more testosterone than women, obviously, and men can suffer lack of confidence actually when they get low testosterone and things. But at the end of the day, what that does apparently is it makes men often go far more on gut instincts and with less reflection. And I think we all see those differences between women and men, don't we? It's fine. The differences are important because we've also got to remember that we're not trying to make some homogenized product between men and women. We just need to understand that there are those differences. It doesn't take away from the skills, the experience and the qualities. So I think, long term, we shouldn't have to be having any different seats at the table. Short term, we maybe need to focus on how we push that impression of confidence, even if it might put us out of our comfort zone.
And I think it is that coming out of the comfort zone. And I think the first time I met you was at a women in business event, and I'd been you were on my radio because you'd done the Clipper round Clipper race, which is an amazing ballsy, I'm going to say, kind of thing to do. And I'm living on a boat and passionate about sailing. I was totally fascinated to talk to this human. And I remember we had this speed chat, and then we carried it on in bits as we went along. And I think that was in the 6 months leading up to when you were going to originally launch, or you had started to launch Ripple Effect, and then obviously the dastardly COVID sort of came into play. So I'm really thrilled that that is coming back, because I think the way that you approach things, Debbie, is so human. And I think sometimes it's easy to throw the word, oh, it's just you lacking confidence, and just do this and it'll be all good. I think you really bring a human factor to this and make it feel okay to be yourself.
And that's got to be, I always laugh because everybody says they see me on these things. Say, yeah, but it's easy for you. You're full of confidence. Like, no, I'm absolutely not. We were laughing before. I was still sitting here having a hot flush. Some of it was because I'm having a flush, and some of it's just because I've got some nerves, because I always get them. I've got the same problems that I know a lot of my friends have got in terms of listening back to these things and watching these things and going, oh, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? I don't have any more or less confidence than an awful lot of the people I know, around me. But you've got to push yourself out there. You've got to make sure you're going to be the role model. You've got to push yourself out there. But it's not straightforward to do, and it's not as easy as just saying, get a grip and it'll be fine. And, as a cheeky plug, that is some of what I'm trying to deal with and work with women through some of the workshops and the courses that I'm going to run with the relaunch of my company. And it is those things, because I know it isn't just get a grip on yourself. It's not that simple.
And we'll put details for Debbie and Ripple Effect into the show notes as well. So if you want any more information, I'm all for a cheeky plug, Debbie. You've got to go for it. You're here to help people. You know, this is about, we want, you know, we want people to take seats at the table. We talked last week when we had a speed catch up about, we'd both been in the media, hadn't we? I'd done Sky News and I think you'd done GMB and Northwest News. And I remember I was on a panel for 45 minutes and it kept coming on with trains and I'm thinking, where's Debbie Francis when I need her, you know? And I listened back and thought, gosh, I should have said this. I should have bridged it to say this. But actually, it's important, like you say, to just to keep on doing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you do, you know, you do get better at it. You don't get any less nervous, but you get better at it. But you just got to keep on doing it anyway. And you know what? Everyone's flawed. I don't know why we think, we have this impression, don't we? We're supposed to go on and be some perfect person with these perfect answers. It's like, well, that's just not real and it's never going to be real. So I think you know, just accepting that, trying to understand that you're not going to be perfect and that actually that's just going to have to be okay. You know, there are very few perfect people or perfect things in the world, so you just get, that's just going to have to be okay. But again, that takes some practice to accept and to kind of go, okay, I'm just going to accept I'm not going to be great. Or,
and so we've been asking people to take seats at the table, but often sometimes it's easy to shy away. Oh, what knowledge have I got? I don't know all about that, you know, that stuff or the budgeting stuff or the governance stuff. So, you know, what are the first steps? You know, if we're not included at the moment at that table or in that conversation yet, we've got something that we feel we want to add. Where do we start? Where do we start with this?
So I think there's a few things. I would say, looking back over the pandemic, having become a person who watches the news every morning, for example, and I never used to because I never used to have time. I'd be off and on a train normally going somewhere the first thing in the morning. But, through the whole of the last 18 months, and now it's part of my routine, I watch the news every morning, etc. And I remember just before the pandemic, we went and did to the 50-50 BBC thing. And they were talking to us about the fact that they've got all these women now on the register and things, but they approach them to do sessions and they can't get women to say yes. But I think maybe some of that began to change a little through the pandemic, because I became conscious that I was seeing far more female experts appearing. Now, whether that's just because we feel better when we're sat in our own house or something, I have no idea. Or whether it's just because, you know, before you'd be asked to go to a studio for 9 o'clock in the morning. And quite frankly, if you've got to get your kids to school, it's not going to happen. Whereas, you know, through the pandemic, the availability for women, and we all know, you know, we lead all these double lives, the availability for women was there. So they put themselves forward. So I think that, you know, it is beginning to change. But, and I think that that's the key thing to getting a seat at the table. Again, the difficulty is it links to confidence. You said women say, oh, you know, I don't know enough about this, or I don't know enough about that. And of course, it takes confidence. You say, I know enough to talk on the subject. But so we go back to what I said before, you know, you've got to keep putting yourself forward. The other thing is, though, it's down to those of us that have a seat at the table to make sure the people offering the seats are aware of their own biases in how they go about it. And then that way, maybe we don't have to, those people trying to get a seat don't have to try quite so hard, because the people who are there offering them are aware of what they need to put in place to help them, to make sure that they get the diversity of candidates that they may be looking for. You know, at the end of the day, if people are not in the candidate pool, you can't give them the job. So how do you get people to put themselves forward? There's a lot of things you can think about at that stage to open up that pool and to get rid of some of the biases that stop people even putting themselves forward. So I think, you know, yeah, you've got to try to find a way to step out your comfort zone and put yourself forward. But a lot of it needs to rely on those of us there. And there are a lot more of us there now. It isn't like the last 100 years since the suffragettes. It's not quite so slow. It's not as fast as we might like, but it isn't quite so slow. I mean, you know, in the FTSE 350, there's been huge improvements between 2015 and 2021, huge improvements. It's not where it needs to be. But it has actually, you know, we've almost doubled the number of women on boards. We've actually reached more than 30% of the boards being made up of females. And there's a lot of people say that's the tipping point, that if you can get more than 30%, you can sustain it because you've got enough voice. It's not just one sole voice. You've got enough voice to then sustain that going forward. There are no FTSE 350s that are all male boards anymore. OK, you know, which is great. But I think also, obviously, a lot of us are aware, a lot of those positions are non-executive, not executive roles. Okay. And that, you know, so let's not fool ourselves that it's great, because it isn't. But it has done huge changes in just 6 years. So I think if we can, and it is the last 6-10 years, we've seen so much movement, like yourself, Simone, and everything that you've done for women across the North, but in bringing those women together, in putting through the role models, in supporting young people through. A lot of that activity has been in this last decade. It hasn't been before that. And look at what it's doing. So I think in the next decade, we'll see it shift. And I think there's then a bigger problem to tackle. How do we tackle that wider diversity that's not just about gender? But at the moment, I think we are on a great path from a gender perspective. So let's just keep doing what we're doing.
There's so many things to pick up on in there, and I could talk to you all day, David, but in last week's podcast with Sam Walker, you talked about, when we touched on, you know, sometimes you have that panic about not knowing, having all the answers. Well, obviously, you know, most of the time a producer on a show is bringing you in to fill in the bits that they don't know. So don't worry about that, you know, share your knowledge, you know, it's all good. You talked about the FTSE 350 boards, there's no all male boards now. We're definitely seeing a shift in the last decade. But what are the things about the boards themselves? How can those boards be encouraged to have more diversity? How can we encourage them to look further wider? I've definitely seen your chair of the LEP. I know we've got a female a chair, Siobhan McArdle, over in Tees Valley. I think Claire Haywood in Cheshire. We're definitely seeing a rise of you know, more female representation on local enterprise boards. So I'm going to high five Saroj Marsh on this, the king of the LEPs, if you like, you know, it's that sponsorship approach. But what else? How can other people be more Roger?
Yeah, I think, and you know, it is that sponsorship approach, but I think it is, you know, a big part of this still comes to getting rid of the biases. We know that, you know, when you advertise roles, you know, if you look at creating that job specification on a more outcome focused basis, you know, what do you want the role to achieve? Not a list of things you're supposed to have to do it. What's it supposed to achieve? So people can read it and go, I know I can achieve that. Women, that will relate far better to women than a list of activities that they, or a list of skills you're supposed to have, where they'll often doubt themselves. We've just talked about it and say, well, I haven't got that, they won't apply. So there's all sorts of things to do to encourage you to open up, to get people to put themselves forward. And this comes down to the language that you're using, it comes down to outcome focused skills. And then once you get them to put themselves forward, there's another step that boards have got to take, and they need to take it all the way through the organisation. There's another step boards have got to take to make sure that the interview process doesn't have a whole heap of subconscious and unconscious biases as well. And then the other thing, of course, boards have got to do is they need to look at their companies and say, how are we making sure that the talent can come through equally? You know, how are we making sure that we're not letting, you know, women, for example, get to a certain point in the career, then because as a company, we're really just not, you know, we might tell ourselves we're doing the right thing, but the reality is we're not doing the right thing. We're not keeping those women, or we're not giving them an equal opportunity when they may return, etc. It's about those things. And I think, and that's down to boards. You know, that's how you lead it from the top and how you continually question your company about what they're doing. Boards can do that. That's part of what your role is. Challenge that company all the time. What are you doing about this? What are you doing about this?
So your voice can be at your own table, can't it? Within your own organisation, influencing up. And I think this will add totally into, as you said, we, you know, we're fighting for gender, we're fighting for wider representation around ethnicity. You know, the wider piece around wider diversity, wider inclusion, wider social mobility. So Debbie, literally, I cannot thank you for such fantastic advice today and insight. Every single one of these, every time we have a conversation, you just give the best, like, top tips. So everything that comes out of this, you are everything that comes out today will go on to, we create like a cheat sheet or a resource sheet, so you know the podcast is not just for listening, it's for reading too. So Debbie, thank you so much for joining me today, and good luck at the castle next year.
Thanks, Simone, and thanks for getting me on. It's always great to talk to you anyway, so I know you and I could go on for hours, couldn't we? Which is not what people
Do you want to come back for episode 4? Be brilliant. We haven't even really done much about trades, but thank you so much. You will have given everyone out there some real food for thought as they continue on their day, their walk, their hike, whatever they're doing, or they're multitasking. So thanks for tuning in today. Please do tell your friends about our podcast. Reach out to us on socials at North Power Women on Twitter and Northern Power Women on all our other social media. Get your profile out there. Sign up to wearepower.net and start shouting about your achievements and where you can offer offer help and support to other members of our community. I'm Simone Roche. You've been listening to a Northern Power Women podcast, which is a What Goes On Media production.